Well, this is the day the Lord has made. We will continue to rejoice and be glad in that, right? In Him and amen. Okay, well, the pastor was saying something right before church started. He goes, "Oh no, my water. Where's my water? I got to have my water, right?" And so you went out, and did you get it? He got his water. So water is pretty important, right? I remember going to the Grand Canyon. First of all, when we moved here from St. Louis, everything's flat, no mountains, no dangerous roads. We said, well, let's go for a little drive on the country. And I said, okay, so we're out around Ironwood, and there's this road that goes, I mean, it is something else. It's going up to the dam up there, you know. Was it 88 or one of those roads? I forget the name of it. Off Idaho and Ironwood. And the farther you go, the steeper it gets, to the point where I'm going over this huge dam and going, oh my! And we're all going, this is, and I'm thinking, well, we were just going to go for a little drive, right? And I'm going, what did I get myself into? Then we almost ran out of gas. And in Illinois, there's always a gas station. There's a little town, there's another little town, gas station. They all have those convenience stores with gas, right? No problem. You don't have to worry about, gee, will they run out of gas? There's always a gas station. Well, not out there. Couldn't find one. But anyway, on our other trip, we went to the Grand Canyon. We weren't prepared for that either because we didn't bring enough water. And we're going down the canyon. Oh, this is great. You know, having a good time, we're all set, this is fun. We kept going and going, and then nobody thought about, oh, we have to go back up. And that's a lot harder than going down. We went too far down and didn't realize we need energy a lot more to get back up. And Christy and Jeremy were pretty little at the time, and they go, Dad, carry me, carry us. No, you're on your own. This is the time to learn, you're on your own, kid. I want water. I don't have any water. I'll never forget that. Yeah. So we were not prepared. We didn't bring enough water. So water is very important, right? And in the days of the Bible, it was just as important. And it was difficult sometimes to get water. In fact, even today in Africa, there will be situations where families in Africa have to drink muddy, dirty water. That's all they have, right? And sometimes it'll take 4 or 5 hours to walk somewhere to get water and then bring it back. So those different organizations and agencies that are providing fresh water, it's a great gift to those people. They really appreciate fresh water. And sometimes we take that for granted. Well, there's a spiritual thirst. There's an emptiness that people have without Jesus, right? Without God in their lives, that makes them pant, that makes them thirsty, hungry, thirsty, empty, and they can't find it till they find Jesus, right? We'll get to that. But there is a spiritual thirst that people will have without God, and they'll try to fill it in all kinds of ways, right? We've all tried different things and different ways to get rid of that emptiness, that spiritual thirst. There's got to be something more to life than this, right? And why are things going the way they're going? And I need more. There's something missing in my life. And so that's why it says in the Bible here today, the first verse of our lesson of verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." That's a word from the Lord, right? Amen. From the living Christ, about a living word and living water that's alive and refreshing. When we started, that's been so long ago, planting a church in Ahwatukee, we had some brochures made, and we talked about the idea of spiritual refreshment. To come to this new church, we're not here about religion, but about a relationship with the living Lord, and we talked about come and receive spiritual refreshment at Family of Christ. And that was really quite a response from people, the baby boomers, the unchurched in the community. Like, wow, that sounds refreshing. Well, I hope. Church should be refreshing, right? Worship should be life-changing. It should bring us closer to God, and we should experience something in worship, right? A little background about this verse here in John 7:37. And by the way, Pastor Rick had a great picture on the PowerPoint last week. Remember that the picture of the person when they opened them up. And what was in the middle here?
Living water.
Living water. The flow of water. A waterfall. That's what Jesus says. We have that inside us. Literally in our belly. We have the Holy Spirit bubbling up. And if it stops bubbling up and it's just a little trickle, or becomes empty. And by the way, well, this past week we got a new management company, new owners in our apartment complex. Well, they decided to turn off our water for about 3.5 hours. It seems like it always happens when you really can't afford it to happen. You're like, oh no, I don't have any water. Well, sometimes spiritually we go to the faucet to have a spiritual encounter with God, and we turn it on and it's empty. Because maybe we haven't been spending that 15 minutes a day with God, or haven't been going to church, and now we're empty. So we call Pastor Rick and say, Pastor Rick, will you pray for me? And he will. But we need to keep that supply of water all the time. And that was a big deal in the days of the Bible. In fact, the Romans had built a tremendous system of aqueducts to bring fresh water into the area, into the city. So it's important for them, it's important for us, and spiritual even more so. Now, Pastor Rick's been preaching on this for a while about this whole thing of the Feast of Tabernacles. Because Jesus' relatives said, well, you're the big shot here, the big talker, the big cheese, so why don't you go down there? And Jesus said, I'm not going right now. I'm not going now. He went later. Because there were people trying to kill him, right? So he went a little bit later. But he did show up. And this festival was a series of days in which the people of God would come back, and they would go to the city, and they would build these booths, and they would, like, tent. They would be camping. How many of you like to camp? How many like to camp? How many hate camping? Very vocal, those non-campers. I saw some. Okay, just asking. We're not going on a camping trip today. Whoa. Do you need therapy about that? Or what? Wow. Okay. So never again, right? Okay. Well, this was a holiday where people would remind themselves of what their forefathers had to go through and to rely on God. And so they'd build these booths and they would be reminded of the children of Israel that had to travel from place to place, right? And didn't have it so good back then. And so this would be a reminder. And it lasted for several days. Well, there was the last day, and I wanted to read from Dr. Kretzmann, who writes this. He talks about the fact that on the last day it was called the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of the Great Hosanna, in which they would take the leaves of the willows and the palm branches that were off the roof of their little tents, and they'd wave them in praise to God. Well, sort of a precursor to Palm Sunday there, isn't it? So they'd take the palm branches off the roof that they had of their little tent, right? And they'd wave them in praise to God. In praise for the coming Messiah who would come. And so they'd be shaking these willows and palm branches, waving them again around the altar, and the priest would go around the altar 7 times in a procession. Let's do that now. Everybody, okay, let's go. 7 times around. Oh, no, just the priest. That just us. Okay. But 7 times. What's the deal about 7? Perfection. Not lucky. That's not a lucky number. Perfection. Right? So, it's the idea they would go, gee, the walls of Jericho, right? Had 7 in it. So, they would go around the altar 7 times in a procession of thankfulness, happy Thanksgiving. And then the priest was commissioned to get a pitcher of water from the pool of Siloam and then pour it on the side of the altar. So they pour this water on the side of the altar. And he says, all these ceremonies had been introduced in the course of time, and the Jewish teachers had explained some of them, especially the last, as a symbol which would find its fulfillment when the Messiah would come. The proclamation of Jesus at this point was therefore very important and significant. And it also talks about the fact, it says that the water of the Pool of Siloam was considered living water, since it was replenished from time to time by means of a natural siphon from a spring in the rock. So this was like special water that was always fresh. And if you've ever drunk from a water from a spring, a mountain spring, isn't that good? Oh, man, it's delicious. There ain't nothing like it, right? So Jesus uses all this symbolism to refer to himself. So he gets up in the middle of this ceremony and yells out that voice, in a strong voice, that word that we talked about, the fact that if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of bubbling, living water will flow from literally his belly, his or her belly. Not from our head, theological ideas, or let's talk about lecture about water, but deep down here, the Holy Spirit resides, right? If we use our heads all the time, especially in spiritual matters, we'll get in trouble. What's this? Rationalizing, right? Head knowledge, facts. Facts are important. We need to learn about the Bible. But what happens when we have an encounter with God? What happens? This is just, that was a wonderful educational experience. I learned so many facts. It's more than just facts about God when we come to worship, right? We get closer to Him. We talk about that, Judy, what you've gone through. And then also the prayer service we had the other night. That's an encounter and experience with a living Lord. And have you ever been in a worship service or listened to a sermon or whatever, talked to another Christian here, and it's like the more you talk, the more excited you got down here and you just felt it, right? It's like, oh, yeah. And we miss when others aren't here. James was gone on vacation. Robert and Sarah were gone. And when people come back and they're part of the body again, part of the family, it's awesome. And we refresh each other. So when we're living in a drought, anybody live in an emotional or spiritual drought, or dryness, of emptiness? It's no fun, is it? And then when you say, would you like some water? Yes, ice cold water here, ice cold water. Oh, it's so refreshing. That's the picture of what it's like spiritually when we're empty and then Jesus comes in. And when we have that first drink of cold water of Jesus, doesn't that taste good? The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. I was never taught that in my home church growing up. Taste and see the Lord is good. Well, we don't want to get that. That's kind of weird. But if we don't experience this, it's all just talk, right? Lectures. And it's supposed to be real. So Jesus cries out, and it says, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. How many of you have received the Holy Spirit? All of us, right? Amen. And isn't he wonderful? Amen. Isn't it awesome to be refreshed? There's nothing like it, right? Oh, and some of you have not been able to go to church for a while. And when you come back, it's like, oh, sure missed this, right? Oh, I missed this. Good to be back. I remember when both my parents died, having to go back to Illinois. And I told you about that church. You couldn't smile, couldn't raise your hands. So I felt like I was in a straitjacket. Trying not to, get in trouble. And it was just like, oh, I missed this church so much in the fellowship. And Donna and I, we talked about that. We will come back and we can refresh each other. But it's all about receiving the Holy Spirit. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit bring to us? Peace. What else? What?
Comfort.
Yeah. Love.
Joy.
Thanksgiving. Discernment. All kinds of stuff. Hope, right? Self-control, faithfulness. On and on. The fruit of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit. And so Jesus was talking about this, and he said, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from in him. Well, what are these scriptures? Isaiah has a lot of them. He's so much like an evangelist. Like he was before his time, right? He talks so much about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And in Isaiah 12, it says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he's done and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he's done glorious things. This is Isaiah. He says, shout aloud, sing for joy, for the great God is with you. Amen to that, right? And also in Isaiah, more Isaiah stuff. Isaiah 44, verse 3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring. And isn't it neat when our kids start receiving Jesus and our grandkids want to know about Jesus and they want to come to church It's like, yeah, let's keep this going. Keep it going, right? I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. They will spring up like grass. We say, well, they grow like a shoot, like they're growing so fast, right? And like poplar trees by flowing streams. One will say, I belong to the Lord. Amen. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, little tattoo here, the Lord's, and will, I am the Lord's. And isn't it so awesome when we hear people say, I'm the Lord's. He is mine and I am His, right? Amen to that. And again in Isaiah, he talks about it all over the place. Isaiah 55, it's sort of like a commercial. Someone standing out in the streets says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor what doesn't satisfy? Listen. Listen to me. Amen to that. And so all through Isaiah, all these wonderful verses about the water of life and the refreshment that comes. So Jesus is saying, I'm in your Bibles and you don't see me in there. I'm all over the place and it's about me. It's all about me. And he wasn't bragging, but it's true. He is the Savior, right? It's Christ-centered. Christ in us, the hope of glory and the refreshment. So Jesus was calling out to these people on this great day of the festival saying, all this ceremony, it's about me. And if you don't have me, you don't have any of this. Because it's all empty without me, right? Can you imagine if we were in church and we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit from now on? We said, oh, we've had some complaints about being too crazy, so no more talk about the Holy Spirit. Right? We're not going to do that. And we're not going to talk about experiencing Jesus because some people might be offended by that because maybe they haven't had the same experience and we've got to kind of tone that down. Sounds like what's going on in our world today, right? With chaplains and stuff. Can't do this, can't do that. But we can't help it because we are refreshed and we are so changed by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, everything changes, right? There is a book entitled The God Catchers by Tommy Tenney, and he talks about people being dissatisfied with church and they don't want to just go through the motions of church anymore. He says, if you've ever had an encounter with a manifest presence of God, it will ruin church for you. From then on, you put up with church. From then on, you put up with church. What you really want, though, is, come on, God, I want you. Man-centered sermons and songs will make you sick. Going through the motions will drive you nuts. What are you trying to do? People can't see what you're looking at. They think you're looking out the window. But you're looking for the pattern to appear on the window pane. You're not looking at the same things. You're looking beyond the window to where Jesus is. So what he's saying is that once you experience the Holy Spirit, just going to church and just going through the motions isn't, no, thank you. No, we don't want that, right? We want an encounter with God. Who wants an encounter with God today? No, some of you don't? Okay. Well, it's up to you. All right. It's free. It's all here, right? The refreshments. It's free. Yeah, free, free. That's a big deal nowadays, isn't it? So Jesus was calling out, do you want forgiveness? Do you want a new start? Do you want a new life? Do you want joy and happiness and hope and healing? Do you want peace? Do you want strength? Do you want courage? Do you want power? Do you want a purpose in life? Do you want a Monday morning that can make a difference because you're in Jesus and you're going out into the world as a shining light? And you have a calling on your life. No matter what you do, you have a vocation. You're called to serve God, to be a minister in the same way all the disciples are. Do you want to follow someone that will lead you all the way to heaven, hold you by the hand through this life and through death into the life to come? That's what it's all about, Jesus, over and over again, right? And the Spirit is who calls us to Jesus. He doesn't talk about Himself. He wants to glorify Jesus, which is our calling too, to glorify Jesus and point to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit, He tugs at our heart. in the communion or hearing the sermon or singing a song. He says, do you hear that? Do you get that? Do you want that? You can have that. Here it is, the rivers of living water that refresh, that bubble up, that just keep bubbling up, refreshing from the fountain of life, the living water, the water of life. And so Jesus says, here I am. Taste and see the Lord is good. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good word. In Psalm 42, David talks about, as a deer pants for a lip for water, so my soul pants for you. And it's like the deer going to what was once a river of life and not finding it, and looking and looking and looking. By the way, when I came here, I thought when it said river, a real Salado was a real river. Back when I moved here, there was no water. And I go, what kind of river is this? If you get rivers here, there's no water. And so just wait. Wait when the monsoon, it'll close down roads and it'll be all kinds of water. And it was true. But the world offers refreshment in all the wrong places, right? And it leaves us empty. It's like drinking seawater can kill you. And all this water in the ocean, you'd be dying of thirst. Better not drink that seawater. It'll kill you. It'll just kill you right there and then. And all this water that doesn't refresh, it's polluted. And the world is polluting the spiritual waters all over the place, right? With the craziness. I got to tell you something. I've got more. Sorry, this is off the sermon here, but it really isn't. I've got so many teenage girls and teenage boys too, or preteen, actually preteens, that don't know who they are. They're wondering, well, maybe I'm not a boy. It's ruining so many kids. And they all get together and they talk about this. Well, are you a boy or a girl? It's getting bad because they're talking about it all the time. So, well, if I want to make love to a 30-year-old man, it's okay. What? And so many kids are talking about this. I'm hearing it all over the place. So we need to pray for the youth of our country. It's really like, oh, I had no idea what's going on in our world. And it is like Sodom and Gomorrah. It is like the days of Noah. And so we really have to work hard at just keeping our kids and our families focused on Jesus in a polluted, dark, pagan, evil world, right? Or just call it what it is. But the good news is, in the middle of all this terrible darkness and spiritual drought, there is the living water and there is Jesus. And He is still here. And He will get us through even the days of what's called apostasy, which means unfaithfulness and people turning away from God. In the days of Isaiah, people were leaving God right and left. And then yet Isaiah had this tremendous vision of God. We sing about it, seated on the throne. And he went to heaven and he saw the Lord and he said, holy, holy, holy. You heard the angels say that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And he encountered a living God in this incredible, unbelievable vision where God filled the temple with His glory. And Isaiah saw it. In the middle of all this unbelief and evil, he was brought into the heavenly realm. And we can go above all the junk of this world and look to Jesus and be refreshed in Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Jesus says this and talks about the Holy Spirit. Now, did they have the Holy Spirit before Pentecost like we have it? No, the Holy Spirit would come upon people from time to time, but He was not in people. After Pentecost, when people came to know Jesus, they also got the Holy Spirit, and Jesus came into them, and the Holy Spirit came inside them. And so we have a real benefit that they didn't have. And so Jesus was talking about this. The Spirit would be given later after Jesus was glorified. Verse 40, on hearing His words, some of the people said, surely this man's a prophet. They said, we've never heard anybody preach like this. He must be a prophet. And there were differences of opinion. Others said, no, he's the Messiah. He's not just some prophet. He's the anointed one. He's the chosen one right there. Not LeBron James. This is the chosen one from God who is the Savior of the world. They go, oh, this is the man. Still others ask, wait a minute now. How can the Messiah come from Galilee? They're really hung up on this, aren't they? They thought they knew it all. They go, well, we know this fellow, this guy from Galilee, and we know that the Messiah is supposed to be born and has to be born in Bethlehem. Hello, have you ever heard about people moving from their birthplace? They get born someplace and then they move. Maybe you guys never leave, but Jesus is, you know, He is the and the word Bethlehem, where He's born, you know what that means? House of bread. So the bread of life was born in the city called the House of Bread. Kind of interesting, right? So they thought they knew all of it. But you know what? Even about Galilee, there's a verse about Galilee even. So they're wrong on that. And they take certain scriptures and they conveniently don't think about others. Because it says in Isaiah 9, in the past, He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, He will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And You have enlarged the nation. You have increased their joy. It's talking about somebody coming from Galilee wouldn't make a difference. So they're wrong on that too. But they think they know it all. They're so positive this fellow, this quack, can't be God because we know better. Oh boy. And then they say, does not the Scripture say the Messiah will come from David's descendants from Bethlehem? Yes. A little town of Bethlehem? Yes. Absolutely. Then the people were divided because of Jesus. Are they still divided today? Unfortunately, yes. But there's still division today. Some wanted to seize Him, but no one laid a hand on Him. Why didn't they lay a hand on Him? Because it wasn't His time, right? And finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and Pharisees and asked them, why didn't you bring them in? Bring Him in. Where is He? And listen to this. No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards replied. They were in the presence of Jesus, the presence of God. They heard Him and they go, we have never heard sermons like this. So usually it's dry, it's boring, we want to get out of there. There's no life to what these priests have to say. No energy, no strength or power or attraction in the Word. And Him, this man speaks like no one has ever spoken before. And the words of life come out of His lips into the hearts and minds of people. They go, whoa! They were impacted by the words of Jesus. In the same way when the guards came for Jesus in the garden, and they said, and Jesus said, who are you looking for? And then they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And He says, I am He. And they fell backwards. Just the word, I am He, made them fall back. And the Word of God has powerful effects. That is, if you're open to it. If you're just kind of tuned out right now, it won't have any impact, but it's not the Word's fault. It's your fault. It's our fault when we shut down the Word of God, or we get too busy about the other stuff, or we get so turned on to the world that we get turned off from God and the living refreshment, and we go out and we drink stagnant waters of alcohol, of drugs that we think are going to refresh us. And it ain't going to do it, is it? It's not going to work. No one spoke like this man. The Word of God is so powerful that even unbelievers have to take notes sometimes. They go, whoa, well, there's something going on. New Age people hear about Christians having prayer service with people being healed. They go, wow, what's going on over there? Right? There is a power in the Word of God. Do you remember that there are times in your life, maybe before you're a Christian, where you had to admit there's something there, something to that Word? This is not the Word of a man, some carpenter from Galilee. This is the Word of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And you hear those words, right? Maybe in jail? You go, wow, this isn't just a Pastor Rick thing. This is the God thing. And he's talking to me. He is talking to me, right? And we need to let our hearts open, let that living water in, and let it bubble and refresh so we can give water to other people. And we can't give what we don't have. We got to first drink it all in, drink Him in, and the Spirit of God more, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just a little bit here, but be filled to the brim. So they were just, even the guards were impacted. And they said, you mean, the Pharisees go, you mean He has deceived you also? The Pharisees retorted, have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in Him? No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law there's a curse on them. It's all, they just don't get it, right? People are changed. People are impacted by the Word of God. They say, well, he's deceived you too. It's all deception. He's a demon. But we're right. Well, no, not right. Nicodemus, remember him from John 3? Who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number asked, does their law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's been doing? He replied, are you from Galilee too? They're hung up on this place here. They got a thing against Galilee. Man, what is the deal here? They just got that. Have you ever been around somebody that got something fixated in their mind and they cannot let go of that because they can't receive Jesus, can't receive eternal life because something happened to them or they heard something and it's just stuck in their head and their heart and it's got them detoured from the real thing, right? And people have that all the time, some sort of objection that they think is legitimate to keep them from the real deal, and that is Jesus, right? Well, it takes the Holy Spirit to knock that down. And later some people did come to Christ who had this Galilee fixation, and they got over it, the man from Galilee. And anyway, it says, are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that... I agree with that. Yeah, look into it. I agree, Pharisees. Look into it and see. Except you'll find that a prophet does not come from Galilee. No, you'll find out that a prophet does come from Galilee. Wasn't born there, but he lived there. And this was then they all went home. But did they think about it? I bet they did. There were different people, different reactions like always about the Word of God, right? Some went home and were changed and talked about it. Their families witnessed it about Jesus, like the woman at the well told everybody about this Jesus she met at the well that gave her refreshment and waters that bubble up to eternal life. And she said, I've been changed. I've never experienced this before. You need to experience this too. Others went home and got, okay, who's playing the football game today? Let's just go on with life. Forget it. And it was just like nothing happened. And it was their moment to have Jesus. And you never know how many moments a person's going to have to receive Christ, right? And to be touched by Him. Well, drink deeply today, folks. The water's here. The water of life. Jesus. And the Spirit says, do you want more? Do you want more? Are you thirsty for more? And He says, come and get more. I'm here. Drink deeply. Amen. Amen.